Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life Micro Audio Summit, curated especially for soul-led coaches, healers, and online entrepreneurs to write and promote your book in the most powerful way. In this summer, you'll hear from our speakers sharing their wisdom, each one around a different aspect of the book writing journey. Each interview is content rich and packed with tips which you can implement right away so you can bring your book into the world. I'm your host and creator of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, founder of The Unbound Press, a publishing company dedicated to amplifying the voices of female authors writing transformational books. I am so excited to bring you these interviews. Let's dive in. So you are going to love this conversation, magical one. I am speaking with Kate Taylor, all about how to harness the power of community and intuition so that your book can reach the people that it is meant to reach, both through your book writing process and also obviously once it's out in the world. Now, Kate is like such a magician when it comes to visibility. She's got so much to offer around like how to show up and share your message and like have the impact that you want to make. But also during this conversation, we got to speak about Kate's experience of both of self-publishing and also now working with a traditional publisher. And I know that's something that so many prospective authors are curious about, like how does that work and what is the difference? So we are diving into all of that good stuff in this conversation. So if you haven't met Kate before, she is a lover of disco balls, a bright red lip, and more leopard print than is necessary. I don't know if that is possible, to be honest, like bring on the leopard print. But she certainly isn't your average coach. She's a leading life and business empowerment coach and mentor, master NLP practitioner, Koya teacher, author, speaker, and very excitingly, creator of the Practical Magic Activation Deck, the UK's first life coach in a box, which she self-published in 2018 and is now being published by Welbeck Balance. And the very exciting news as well is that Kate's debut book, Big Bold Beautiful, A Soul Seeker's Guide to Living an Empowered, Purpose-Driven Life, will be published by Welbeck Balance in September 2023. Okay, let me introduce you to Kate. So, magical Kate, welcome to Bring Your Book to Life.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. I'm excited to see what comes out of our conversation. And like, I really want to talk about like visibility and sharing our writing, sharing our work. But before we do that, because you've had like some really interesting experiences when it comes to publishing, I want to talk a little bit about your experience of kind of self-publishing versus traditional publishing, which obviously you're in the process of at the moment. Your book is coming out later this year. But yeah, how's that been for you? What have you noticed that's different?
So it's been really interesting. What I've really... Because when I first bought out the Practical Magic Activation Deck back in 2018, and that was, I went down a self-published route, mainly because I was like, who in the world is going to understand this shizzle? First and foremost, I've got this incredible idea. I know that it's amazing, but, you know, it was a little bit like testing the waters, if you see what I mean. I wanted to... I really connected to what this thing was, this set of tools that I use in my coaching practice that could help people to connect into intuition and their inner guidance. But I didn't really see anything out there in the market as such that was talking to what I was talking about in a way that I wanted to talk about it. So my work is very much like it is the practical and the magic. It's the groundedness with connecting into what I call you woo. And the way that I wanted to bring this into the market is that, I mean, I love esoteric, I love spiritual practices, but I wanted something that felt really of the moment and very, I always talk about like rock, a little bit rock and roll. And when I was having a look in, say, the bookshops or on the bookshelves, I couldn't see anything that was like mine, which is great because I knew that there was an opportunity for it to be there, but also that it was something that maybe lived beyond the bookshelves as well. It had a place that it could go into workplaces, into people's homes, into their relationships, everywhere. And so going down a traditional publishing route, trying to get a publisher to understand where this could be in a marketplace wasn't the easiest thing to do. And also at the time, it didn't feel like that was the place for it to start out from. So I knew that I had a community of people who were really ripe for it, and they loved me and the way that I talk about things and how I talk about things and how I present and all of that stuff. So I thought, let's start there. Mm-hmm. And so when I self-published, it gave me absolutely carte blanche to do whatever I wanted to do. It meant that there was no limitations on how I share this work. It could just channel and it could come through. And Matt and I, so Matt Denny's the illustrator, we could have as much fun and really go for what we wanted the deck to be and this kit to be. So we decided to get it published through a crowdfunder. So we went through Kickstarter and we got our community and they funded it, which meant that it was a very, you know, organic thing to come out into the world that was born from a simple idea, but it didn't have any restrictions on how it wanted to show its way into the world.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you crowdfunded it. Actually, one of the interviews in Bring Your Book to Life is about crowdfunding. So fantastic. And I guess this applies whether it's a deck or a book. Like when we self-publish, we do have that freedom. And, you know, that can be a great way to get going and to express what you want to express into the world. So how did the traditional publishing opportunity come to you?
Well, so this is the really interesting thing, right? And this is what I've learned so much from going down both paths, because when the deck came out into the world, I had these visions of it being on the bookshelves and, as I said, doing what it was going to do. And actually the work that went behind that, because the retail price of it was so high because it was self-published and because of the level of the detail that we went into, like everything was full color, it's a really like that it was a limited edition beautiful box, but it was an expensive piece of kit, so it retailed at £45. Mm-hmm. So to try and then get that into shops, it was kind of like I needed a whole team behind me that knew how to get into retailers, knew how to get into these spaces. But the wholesale price was made it a little bit cost prohibitive. And then it was like, well, when people started using it and the community started using it, they started telling me how they were using it. Mm-hmm. And I was getting so much incredible feedback about how it was really helping people in relationships, or it was really helping people in their work environments, or it was helping people foster better team collaborations, or however, like generations of families sitting around together. This always blows my mind. And using the deck together. And these are people who would never, ever, 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 ever touch anything remotely woo. And that's what I loved about it. So actually what it allowed me to do was organically understand how people use this kind of product, how they use the tool. And then I created different ways of doing it, which meant that I could talk about it in different ways and I could show up in different ways online and I could, you know, get testimonials from people. And I started a coaching training to train other people how to use this kit. So actually what that enabled me to do was that the practical magic work itself did the talking. Mm. So as it came around, I got an email from a publisher saying, oh my goodness, I love how you talk about your work. I love how you show up online. I love how you talk about grounded spirituality. It feels like there's really a time for this now. This was back at the end of 2021. Mm. And I've seen your deck. we love it. And we think that this would work really well in Australia, in the US. Have you ever thought? And I was like, hello, this was the visualization I had back in 2017, babes. Don't you worry about that. So then it was going through a process of refining and tweaking what was already there to make it even better. So what I have found about going down the traditional publishing route for myself, because I didn't work with an editor at the time, is that it enabled me to think about how does this piece of kit, this incredible toolkit, have a global appeal that means that when we want to get it into the bookshops, what we're essentially doing is writing a business plan.
Yeah,
that's essentially what your book proposal is. So it enabled me to get a lot more commercial about it, and that included, you know, that the price of the toolkit would change, so it's a lot more accessible now. So it just enabled me to think about, okay, what is that global mass appeal, and be able to make those tweaks and make those changes for a global market. Yeah. Which is incredible.
It is. It is. And it's so interesting because, like, if you tried to do that back in, you know, 2018, did you say?
2017. I wouldn't have had the information. I wouldn't have known how to do it.
No. And sometimes we think, oh, I should have all of that mapped out before I actually create this thing, and certainly before I kind of birth it into the world. But, you know, we learn so much about our creations, whether that's a book or a deck or whatever it is, a program, you know, once it's out in the world and connecting with people, that's not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey.
It's so the beginning of the journey. And I think what we can get a little bit stuck on is if we get something out into the world and it doesn't have the kind of traction that we thought it would, because our ego says it has to look like this, I'm just going to get it out, that actually, like you say, it's the beginning of the journey. And how can we learn from, because I would never have had, like I said, I would never have had an idea of how people have been using the kit. They were telling me. So I was like, this is solid gold information that then allows me to shift and change and evolve and create around it, rather than me going in all ego in, going, no, it has to look like this and it's nothing else. It, these things, once they're out in the world, they have a life of their own, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, listen, let's listen in. Let's listen in to what people are saying, how they're using it. And then how do we use that to make it even better and make it, you know, it just spread its love out into the world, for want of a more hippie expression, but it's true.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, it's like we plant that seed and like see what it wants to become. And so the same publisher, is that's the publisher that you're doing your book with?
Yeah. Wow. So Wellbeck Publishing. Yeah. Yes. So a lovely commissioning editor, Beth, reached out and said, I love how you talk about Big, Bold, Beautiful Life. Would you like to write a book about that? And I was like, yeah, let me think about that for a second. Yes, please. And we would like to tie that into the deck as well. Would you like, have you thought about having the deck published? And it was a little bit daunting, because once you hand that over to a publisher, you're handing over your baby and you're saying, okay, I'm giving you essentially the rights to this, which is what you're doing when you're handing to a publisher. And you got to trust them. You got to really trust that they have the best interest for you and your book. And we had those conversations really early up front, because obviously everything about my work is tied into the Practical Magic Activation Deck and Big, Bold, Beautiful, because it's a program that I run and it's essentially my business. So handing that over to somebody takes an enormous amount of trust and really clear communication as well. We went through quite a lot of iterations with the agreement just to make sure that my business obviously is covered.
Yeah.
And that I still have the flexibility and freedom to do with the book and the deck what I do within my business, you know, that there were no restrictions there. And that was a really good and healthy process.
It's so interesting to hear about your experience and the differences between self-publishing and traditional publishing, and how we don't have to do either or, like one can lead to the other. I think people think once they've self-published something, that's it. So it's great to hear how like that process led a traditional publisher coming to you.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think it ties back to always what your vision is. Like back in 2017, when I was in the shower and I had this like idea pop in, it's almost like this weird moment where time kind of like went really stretchy and then snapped back into that very moment, because it was in that moment that I could see everything. Like I could see it being across the world. I could see it doing this. And I've never given up on that vision. I didn't know how that was going to happen. And sometimes you don't need to necessarily know and have all of the controls about how you can take action, as long as you're staying connected to the vision for why this thing exists in the world, your creative expression exists in the world, and the positive impact you want it to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's so important. Thank you for sharing that, Kate. I feel like for those listening, like, trusting your vision and the timing of it, like knowing that, okay, maybe that won't happen within the next 6 months, maybe it happens within the next 6 years, but just staying anchored into that is so important. And the other thing that comes through really strongly when you're talking is community and, you know, that gorgeous relationship that we get to have with everyone who's in our communities and how that can kind of amplify the work that we're doing in the world and our creation. So how have you kind of harnessed the power of community to share your work?
Do you know what? It's just something that I can't not do.
Yeah.
I'm such a people person. As much as I love working on my own and being with my own creativity, I'm always thinking, oh, this, because I literally have a vision of particular people in my heart and in my mind when I'm creating. So whenever I'm creating something, I will bring in that person because I'm thinking about a conversation that we've had. It might be a client that's presented a particular issue. It might be somebody within one of my programs that where we've been on a particular journey together. And so every time I'm connecting into what I'm sharing, I'm thinking about those people. And people are just very, you know, we're always attracted to like-minded and like-hearted people, aren't we? Yeah. So whenever I, you know, whenever I'm sharing anything, it's like I write from a place of community because I'm always thinking and connecting into those people. And I just, I'm so bloody excited about it all. So, you know, when I'm doing something, it doesn't have to be a finished article or a finished product, I'm like, oh my god, I've got this thing for you, and I was thinking about you, and da da da, and you've really inspired this, or I had a thought about you, and so I'm always sharing and always talking about it. And whenever I'm talking and sharing, and it could be an Instagram post, it could be a podcast, it could be a piece of writing, it could be a book, it could be a blog, it could be any way in which that communication's happening, I'm always connecting from my heart to theirs.
Yeah.
And so that sense of community is feels like you're always part of something.
Yeah.
Like always. And so the people that come into my community are like my closest soul family, because we're all part of creating something big, bold, and beautiful together. And that sense of community, like you could have a million strategies for how you build community, but I think it really has to come from the heart first and foremost.
Completely. Like I can feel, well, I mean, that comes through in everything that you share, Kate. And I feel like that's what kind of attracted me to you in the first place. Like I kind of found you on Instagram through somebody and I was like, I want to be connected with that woman because she is amazing.
We feel it, right?
Totally.
We feel it. So every single connection I have to everybody, I feel that.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, I don't have millions of followers. I wouldn't want millions of followers because I love to be connected as individually as I can to each person.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. And, you know, when we're writing our books or, you know, whatever we're creating, like to come from that place of heart connection, to have somebody or some people in mind as you're writing, I feel like that's so, we can kind of get disconnected. I think when we're writing, we can get in that heady place, but to drop into the heart and tune into like, who am I writing this for? Who am I writing to? Is so powerful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What about the role of intuition? Because that's something that's kind of come through strongly in what you...
Oh, what, the word I can't spell?
I know. You can just say it.
We just have autocorrect for that. Well, intuition is the thread through everything that I do. Because like I say, you know, most of... I came from a career, 25-year career in marketing. I worked in advertising agency world in London. And it was intuition was the thing that started really like tapping me from the inside. So there has to be something different here for how you work with people and how you spend the rest of your life. Because I was really unsatisfied with the life stage that I was in and what I was doing. So intuition was the thing that really just started tapping me on the shoulder. And it's always there. Like, we always have intuition. But my career since then, from leaving advertising career, retraining as a coach, going and finding myself in the wilds of Costa Rica doing this crazy movement practice called Koya, like everything has been a really intuitively guided process, because there was a part of my life that just went, enough of like living in the shoulds and how people expect you to be and the obligations. There's something else here. And so when you look at everything that I do on paper, none of it to, I would say, the outside world makes sense. You know, if my careers advisor or my parents were around to go, I don't know what you do, but like, it looks great. Okay. None of it would make sense. But it's a very organic, intuitive process. So things like when the Practical Magic Activation deck dropped into the Shower of Dreams, things like, you know, like I'm saying, going and traveling across the other side of the world to go and do a somatic movement practice teaching, everything has been a following of the yes. Even when my ego and my fears going, what the freaking frick are you doing, woman? Yeah. Like, this is absolutely bonkers. You should be doing this, that you were supposed to be doing this. And I've just gone, but this is what I'm being called to do. And you know what, Nicola, not once of any of those decisions that I've made from a place of intuition have been wrong, because your intuition cannot be wrong, because your intuition is simply a connection to your truth and your soul and that what I would call your inner mentor. So how could it be wrong?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm so with you. Yeah, like every single decision in my life that I've made from that intuitive place, that knowing, has just, even if, you know, for a while it's felt challenging and like, what on earth am I doing? Like, it's always... that I've never ever regretted one of those.
And I think it's important to distinguish the difference between intuition and instinct, which is what people often say, oh well, how can I trust my intuition, because it had, you know, something bad has happened before, or you know, something, I didn't trust my intuition once and this happened. Well, the way that I look at it is that intuition is, like I say, it's like your inner mentor. She's the one, or it's the one who's like, I've got your back. This, yeah. And you don't necessarily, it's the one that picks you up off the floor when it feels like you're going to stay down there forever. And it's like, no, there's a little chink of light here and we can work with this. I'm going to help you to get up and we're going to move forward. Whereas instinct is very much connected to a sense of getting you out of danger. So it's a survival mechanism. So the instinct is the one that stops you like running into the road when a car's coming down the road, whereas intuition is the one that says, let's walk around this street corner this time, and then you bump into somebody and something incredible happens from that moment, you know. So I think it's really important to distinguish the difference, so that when you are in that place, when you're a bit like, I'm following my intuition, what the frick am I doing here? You can tune back into it and you feel it. You know what it's like. It's like, no, we're all right. We're all right.
Yeah.
You know? we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel that kind of presence that it's like, no, I definitely feel that sense of, yeah, I've got your back. Fantastic. I mean, when it comes to like sharing our work and being visible, how would you recommend that people, like, are there some simple ways that people can tap into their intuition when it comes to that? Because I feel like that's an area where we can get jammed up. Mm-hmm. Like maybe someone's writing their book and, you know, that's flowing well. But when it comes to actually sharing that, we go up into our head.
Yeah. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when we're getting stuck for visibility, it's usually because we're worried about people judging. You know, what's so-and-so going to think? Oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. Oh, who am I? And all of this BS that goes around in the fear, ego. I think it really comes back to connecting again to who you're writing it for and focusing and connecting in from heart to heart with that person and allowing the rest of the noise to melt away. And what I do is that I really visualize when I'm writing something, like, especially if it's something where it's a little bit funny, I can literally see their faces. Yeah. I can see them smiling. I can see them having an aha moment. I can see them going, oh God, I really needed to hear that. Now, that doesn't come from a place of ego. That is like whatever words are coming out are here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that purpose is to help activate a big, bold, beautiful change for me as much as it is for that other person. And essentially, we're kind of always writing for ourselves because whoever we're writing for is a version of ourselves because we're connected. So when you're getting visible, remember and connect into who you're writing and connecting with. The rest is freaking noise. And we've got to get really honest. There are people who are going to judge you, but at the end of the day, does it matter? You know, the people that you're here to connect with are the people you're here to connect with. The others, you're not for them and they're not for you when you are writing this piece of work. So why would we give ourselves all of that drama of carrying the whole weight of what they think on our shoulders? Because we're not doing it for them. And I know that's easier said than done, but it is a practice. And it's something to keep connecting into.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, I get that sense of it being a practice and we get more comfortable with it over time. And actually, in my experience, like personally, and also, you know, working with other women and writers, when we are sharing something from that place of connection, it's almost like we're less likely to attract the people who are in judgment or criticism, because I don't know that, because we're just like connecting with the people that we're meant to connect with.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people, like, I'm always surprised that when I put something up and I've written it and I kind of, maybe, you know, it could have taken an hour, it could have taken 10 seconds, like, when people who I maybe haven't seen for years or who I would never have expected to comment or email or DM, and they go, oh my God, I really needed to hear that. I love what you're doing. It's incredible seeing how you're working. Like, we don't know the impact that our work is going to have on the people that we hadn't even thought about.
Exactly.
You know? So rather than getting hung up on the people that we're worried who are going to judge, how about like looking at the work of, this is going to have a positive impact to whoever it needs to have that positive impact on, and then let go of that.
Yeah, let go of that attachment. Love it. Oh my goodness. I could literally talk to you forever about this stuff, Kate. I want to talk about like the free resource that you're offering, because it's really interesting, which is around the Practical Magic deck. And yeah, kind of, can you say a little bit more about that?
So I have an intuitive, how you bring intuitive practice into maybe your work.
Yeah.
As I said, with the Practical Magic Activation Deck, there's a coaching program that goes alongside it, which means that it doesn't matter what it is that you do and how you work with people, it gives you the opportunity to be able to activate more people magic, using intuition, using creativity, using empathy, all of those great things. So I have a brilliant resource, which is tips and guidance from other coaches who use practical magic in their work, of how you can activate more people magic in your life and in your work.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I love that. I love that. And this is such exciting timing, because obviously the Practical Magic Activation Deck is coming out very soon, like the new evolution of it. Where can people find out more about you and your work, and obviously the deck and the book that's going to be coming out later in the
year? Yes. So I hang out on Instagram and Facebook, Kate Taylor Creative Living. That's the handle for both. And my website is katetaylor.co. And I always have loads of great free resources and blogs, and there's a sign up to my newsletter as well. So you can find out more in and about the world of Big, Bold, Beautiful and Practical Magic on those places.
Amazing. We'll make sure everything's on the speaker page as well. Thank you so much, Kate, for being part of Bring Your Book to Life. There's been like so many golden nuggets in this conversation. I'm really grateful.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all of the incredible work you do to help people get their voices out into the world.
Oh, thank you, my love. Thank you. Oh my goddess, what an inspiring conversation. Like, so much goodness to take away from that. Please make sure that you visit the Bring Your Book to Life speaker page to find out more, and a little bonus piece of homework for you. I would love it if you could hop on over to Instagram and share what your biggest insight takeaway is from that interview, like what you're feeling inspired, what action you're feeling inspired to take after listening. You can find me at Nicola Humber. Please do share a post or a story, tag me in and tag our speaker in using the hashtag Bring Your Book to Life, and let us know what you are taking away from that interview. Join the conversation. Here is to bringing your book to life. I'm really excited to see what comes through in your writing and how your book evolves throughout the rest of this year. Thank you so much for listening.